God's planting. You know, we all worry a lot about seed planting and how successful you are at it. And most often we're all kind of disappointed with our seed planting. Why? Not all that many people have ears to hear. Today we're going to talk about something different. We're going to talk about God's planting. And let's check out and let's see if he had any better luck than we did. He always does, of course, ultimately. But did he have disappointments like sometimes you do when you want to share a truth? Then planting seed in the Greek sprama and the Hebrew zera, and it simply means anything basically that has creative or quickening force, meaning it has life. God created it that way. That it, when a seed has that little embryo, it has to do with children, it has to do with grain, or with anything that has that basic form of embryo that can quicken, which means make alive, can bring back to life. Though an ear of corn can lay dormant for years. And the minute it has moisture in Mother Earth and sun, there's life. It goes. So our Father, likewise, when he created this earth age, he did some planting, both with people, with horticulture, to sustain the people, but basically he had the people in mind, because all things were created for their benefit, basically. Okay. And how man can mess that up, how man can pollute it, misuse it, pervert it, and does that make your Father happy? Of course it doesn't. It just really doesn't. And it brings a great deal of problems. And the reason being, at the very lower quadrant of this, we see another planting. There's Satan even like to do a little planting. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to talk about a planting here, Zera. That gives life, the progeny that has offspring. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, to pick up the negative part, that causes much trouble and always has. From this came forth the tares. The tares mentioned in the great parable of the sower, the planting, in Matthew chapter 13, which is symbolic of the Word of God. And do you know that the Word of God, like seed, has quickening in it? It has life in it. It gives life. It makes to live. It brings forth a new blade in your heart, your mind, your soul. That's God's Word. And that's what the parable of the sower involves in Matthew chapter 13. But here in Genesis 3:14, we had a villain. Who was it? It was Satan, of course. And in 14 reads, Genesis 3:14, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle." That means all living beings. Don't think of it cattle as a herd of cattle out here, okay? It's human beings, living beings. "And above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." That is a statement of degradation, meaning he's never going to be any good. Well, how could God say that about somebody? He'd already been judged in the first earth age, Ezekiel chapter 28, that God knew what he would do. He knew what he could expect from him. That's why he convinced him and convicted him, rather, in that first earth age, that he would be turned to dust from within, ashes from within. That is recorded in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. Verse 15, listen carefully. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed," that's zera, that is seed, offspring, "between your children and her children," her seed, children, the planting, okay. "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Satan did bruise his heel as Christ was nailed to the cross. But the day is coming soon when Christ shall bruise the head of the serpent, the Satan, that is to say, and which is one, serpent is one of Satan's names, just like dragon, just like the devil. He goes by many names, and the idea is the Christian or the Bible scholar of God's Word must recognize him in whatever role he plays, because he has the same M.O. basically in all things, method of operation in all things. But here we have the bad seed planted. It's with us. It's still with us. This was Satan's method of trying to bring trouble to the arrival of Messiah, because that was the seat he wanted even in the first earth age. That's why he was there. His duties were the cherub that covereth or protects the mercy seat. He got so prideful within himself that it was totally out of control and led away a third of God's children. So that's where we have to pick it up. And then, but God created a good seed also. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 2. Let's check on some of God's planting. Jeremiah chapter 2, and we're going to pick it up with verse 20. And verse 20 reads, concerning God's planting, again, planting that gives, that quickens the elements that give life, that create or involve bringing life to whatever it might be. Well, God plants, and it grows. But what happens? How, when God plants, is it always tremendously successful? Well, let's read. Verse 20 of Jeremiah chapter 2. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou saidest, I will not transgress. I'm going to be good. When upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot. And this is religiously speaking, okay? You couldn't stick to my word. You got to listen to some yo-yo, some preacher over here and some teacher over there and some priest that turns away from the simplicity that is written in my word. You can't seem to stick with it. You see, God's word is the planting. That's why the parable of the sower has to do with the word of God in planting it. Don't let it run out. Don't let it slip away. Don't let someone rob you of truth. You're in a heap of hurt. It is pretty soon you might be playing the harlot with that wicked seed, the tares we were just talking about. They might deceive you if you don't know any better yourself. Who would you believe if you didn't believe God? And how do you believe God? You study His Word. Or you're going to be deceived, period. Men will see to it. Okay? They can't help themselves. Verse 21. Yet I had planted thee a noble vine. That's what I planted you. Holy a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? You don't even act like my children. You know, with a little few tares mixing in, you do have a degenerate generation. You might even end up with a generation that tries to void God's word from your pledge of allegiance. You might even end up with a generation where some knucklehead over here tries to convince the whole bunch of you that you shouldn't say the word Christ. And good-natured Christians, hating to offend anyone, might say, well, I can buy that. Well, I can't and won't. Christians are the majority, and we will worship and respect anyone's right to believe as they will or worship as they will, but don't mess with us. That is to say, our freedoms to believe and to teach the Word of Christ as He planted it, as He wrote it, as our Heavenly Father blesses people, because it's much better to receive the blessings than it is the cursings. And the choice is yours. How do you find truth? the Word of God. Let it be sowed in fertile ground, and let your mind be that fertile ground that absorbs, that grasps, that hangs on to that truth. He said, I planted something real good, and naturally God would, but he said, look what it has turned into. And hey, I would say to you today, look around you. Verse 22. For though thou wash thee with nitrate, this is to say sodium nitrate, or one of the strongest forms of alkaline, okay, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. Why? If it's wrong, it's wrong. If you're not in God's Word, well, I heard a preacher say, it doesn't matter what some preacher says, have you read the Word of God? You're guilty if you haven't. If you haven't made your own mind up. Because, as God said, I planted a good vine, but some of them have really turned into a bunch of degenerates, perverters. And that's quite a warning, my friend, to you, and especially in this generation of the fig tree. But you need to be sure of yourself. Do you want me to tell you why? Your very soul rides on it. What you will be doing in the... You can work as hard as you want to, but if you're working for the devil here, guess where you're going? But I thought it was so religious. Does it align with God's Word, or is it degenerate? You have to decide. Because you're the one that gets judged, and there will be nobody else standing between you and God when that transpires. Verse 23. How canst thou say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaam. See thy way in the valley? You know, that valley is Hinnon. You know what happens in the valley of Hinnon? It's going to get hot there. Know what thou hast done? Thou art a swift dromedary, traversing her ways. In other words, you're like a wild camel in heat, rushing to a lover. And I'm telling you what, people get to hunt and just give me some new religion. There's nothing new under the sun. Our Father is the same yesterday, He is today, and He will be forever. Don't be deceived. This is how things become degenerate. Verse 24, a wild ass used to the wilderness that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure, trying to find a mate in her occasion at that time. Who can turn her away? You couldn't head her off for anything. All they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month they shall find her. They always do. Listen. Stick with God's Word. But you don't understand. It's so exciting and so thrilling to hear these new religions. They have one over here where it's laugh. What do you learn from that? What absolutely does it make you feel good to laugh? Sure. But, you know, if you're happy, you're going to laugh anyway. Don't do it in church. Don't start a church of laughter. What does that have to do with studying God's Word and to keep you away from the bad seed? It's not going to do it. It's not going to have you forewarned. So stick to God's Word. If you ever have trouble with it, go back to Matthew chapter 13 and read over and over the parable of the sower, the sowing of God's Word, and see where you fit on that scale. It's very simple. A child can understand it. 25. Withhold thy foot from being unshod, and thy throat from thirst. But thou saidest, there is no hope, no, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. I just can't stop myself. Well, I think if you enjoy hell and if you like it hot, hey, that's the way to have it. Have a good trip, friend. It's your choice, and it's your life, it's your soul. But when you're thirsty, drink of the water you drink, and you'll never thirst again. The Word is the living water. Christ is the living water. And when you drink from that well, a deep well where the water runs deep, You'll never thirst again for knowledge and wisdom. You'll dig for it. You'll dig deeper and deeper, and you'll come into the beautiful truth of God and that perfect vine of truth that He planted. You see, the noble vine that He planted is Christ, and you're a branch of it, and He's the pruner. God's the pruner. And what makes that wood, okay? It's just like that. Well, would God do that? You bet He would. How else could it have life and produce and be a beautiful vine? God gets rid of deadwood. So make certain, and you know, on repentance, Christ paid the price that if you were in a strange religion or something, God forgives. God loves when you come home to Him. As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, their governmental officials, their politicians, their court judges, when they're caught, they're ashamed. So, what's the best way? It's not just don't get caught. It means play it God's way. And thank God our government is beginning to come back to its senses in establishing God back in America. It's happening. Not in the world necessarily. Moving pretty slow, but we're getting there, and we're sure not going to quit. We're not going to give up. We're on a mission. God put you on that mission when He planted you here, and you are a part of that goodly vine. But hey, a little advice, see that you produce, okay? But what can we gather from this of God's planting? He wasn't too happy with it. Like when you plant seeds, sometimes you're not. He's sure not when it turns to perversion. Verse 27, saying to a stock, Thou art my father, and to a stone Thou hast brought me forth, for they have turned their back unto me, and not their face, but in the time of their trouble they will say, Arise and save us. Hey, too late, Charlie. You know, it is amazing to me, but when God finally rattles some chains, let's say that an act of nature comes along that brings forth a tsunami. Oh, the prayers do, you know, those that even wanted to get rid of the name of God, boy, they get on their knees and they start praying. God gets their attention. Do you think He should listen to them? When they don't repent, and when they don't care about His name, and when they hurt God's children by misleading them, are they friends of God? Should God help them? Should God hear their prayers? When He's trying to warn with the signs of the end times, you better get your act together. That's one of the signs related from Luke chapter 21 concerning how it would be at the end of the events that consummate this age. The waves will roar. They roared from Florida all the way across to Texas. They drowned New Orleans. And they prayed, some of them earnestly and some of them in Sin City necessarily, and I'm not naming any cities. It's from one to the other. Yeah. God gets our attention. Because He said, right before the end, you're going to be beginning to see the huge waves. And well, you don't understand, brother, that was a hurricane. The waves before that hurricane did not destroy. It was the waves of water, 20, 30 feet high from Mississippi, Alabama, and many places all the way across to Texas, wiping total towns. Little towns, yes, you didn't hear about them maybe so much, but they're gone. And many people gone with it, unfortunately. God has a way of getting attention, and they cry during their troubles and won't back. Well, He'll take them if they're sincere, if they get on their knees and they will listen to Him and get back to the Word of God, the true planting. He'll be proud of you, and He will use you. as a stabilizing force to put all of his enemies under his footstool. I don't know, you qualify for that? Are you up to that? And that's how it is, okay? And but the time of Jacob's trouble and our people's trouble is really just beginning. So you want to tighten your saddle girth up just a little bit and be ready to ride. Okay. You better get your chaps on too, because we're going to go through some thorns. And if you're riding mesquite and thorns and you don't have chaps on, guess who's going to get messed up a little bit? You'll pick your Levi's right off your legs. And I speak from experience, okay? It's going to be kind of a rough ride, but it's a good ride. It's a smooth ride, and when God's elect are called, they can cut it. They can do it. Why? They're equipped. You might say, well, I don't want to get all messed up. Then put the gospel armor on and go for it, okay? That's what it takes. You'll never be injured with the gospel armor on and in place because it protects you from the fiery darts of Satan. You know how come I know that? It's the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6 states it line on line that we have nothing to fear. The only thing we have to fear is ignorance. And in this generation, hey, how many people do you know that you can sit down and have a real serious deep Bible conversation? I will say outside of Shepherd's Chapel. Okay. You tell me about it. If you run across something like that, I want to know. And I'm not judging people. I'm just saying, check out how many people teach God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse instead of man's Word. Let me know about it. Verse 28. But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise, if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of the cities are thy gods, O Judah. I don't have to worry about a thing, because when God gets too rough, I'm going to fly out of here. My God's going to deliver me like a big butterfly. What God is that? God says he's against teaching people to fly to save their souls. So what God are you going with? Dangerous. You know, God wants you to stay here in the field. Those I find in the field still working, I'll bless. Those that have flown the coop and have intermarried with the bad seed, that's to say the false Christ, I don't want them. I want virgins. I don't want somebody that's been in the sack with Satan. I'm speaking for those that haven't ever read Mark 13, where he says, what are those that are with child when I return? Because he's been gone for 2,000 years, and when he comes back, if you're with a small child, you've already took a spiritual wedding, and you're guilty. And you're not only that, you're nursing along that religion. There's one Father. Follow him. His name is Yahweh. He sent you a letter. It's his word. It is written. Follow it. Wherefore, verse 29, wherefore will you plead with me? Question, what have you got to do with me? You all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord, by false religion. In vain have I smitten your children. They receive no correction. Your own sword hath devoured my prophets. Your prophets are his prophets. Like a destroying lion. If I send someone to really teach the word, the press and everyone else will chew them up alive. I mean, they'll fix their reputation in a big way. You take innocent Christian men that follow God's word, let them try to run for a high office and see what happens to them. I mean, would you believe elected officials that are prominent will lie? Publicly, under oath? Can you believe that? Well, if you've been paying attention, you witnessed it. God has too. And God's not happy with his planting. But he's going to take care of business. 31, O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. You better take a look at it. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel? A land of darkness, wherefore say my people, we are large, we will come no more unto thee. You know, we don't need you, God. Because you know what some of them actually teach? That they're gods. So it's written right in the Word of God that ye are gods. But do you know what the actual truth in the Hebrew manuscripts is? It means you belong to God, not that you are. Now think what a position that leaves you in when you begin to have that frame of mind. That you are equal to God or above, when all it says is you belong to Him. You might take a moment and read Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, where it says all souls belong to God. His to do with at His pleasure. It might rattle your chain a little bit and get you back down to earth, but people actually do that. How do you think a man could have the courage to try to get God totally removed from our vocabulary and claim to be an atheist? And I'm going to tell you something. I want you to know coming out the gate, we receive letters from ex-atheists, okay? And do you know what caused them to cease being an atheist? Just what God said there. See the word of the Lord. And they always thank this chapel, this church, for having documented and proven to them that God is real. That is not an uncommon, beloved, that is not an uncommon occurrence. And it happens all the time. And it touches your heart. And it lets you know the power of God's Word. That it does change lives. What a generation we live in. What a time we live in. 32. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. They want to get rid of me. Beloved, some people do. You don't, but there are people that do. Why? They'll teach another religion. You know what is really amazing? And how they'll teach it right from God's Word by twisting and turning and taking out of context. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways? Have you had a little business with them? Have you let the wicked ones work into your camp? Do they make sense to you? Oh, yes, they are so intelligent. Well, listen, regardless of how intelligent someone is in their writings and their letters, and a letter on this and a letter on that, does it differ with God's Word? If it does, if they can't back it up in God's Word, you better wise up quick, because you're walking into a swamp that has quicksand. And it'll let you sink. Also, in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. They don't try to hide it. They publicize it. They brag about it. God's not happy. Souls... You know, it's one thing for a man to murder someone in the flesh, but preachers that murder people's souls, that may sound like a strange statement to you, but when you change someone away from God, you murdered their soul, because it's going to die if there isn't a change. That's why judgment begins at the pulpit, and it truly does. God judges preachers, teachers, and evangelists. I'm glad He does, because it encourages you to do your homework a lot more in depth. There are a lot of innocent deaths in this world today. I don't even like to think about it. It's terrible. But hold your ground, hold the truth, hold the line. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely His anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. And you know, a lot of people, you don't have to go very far. You can turn on the boob tube, and you can hear false teaching quite occasionally. And it's a sad state of affairs that we are. But you turn on the news, and then you see our people being misled, misfed, and not even recognizing signs, because it would seem like even the media is so Satan-bound, leftist, that it really gets difficult to sift out truth. Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? There's nothing new under the sun, you got it? Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. You always, instead of looking to God, you try to team up with some nations to save you. Go for it then, and forget about me, God says. Our salvation lies in him. Yea, thou shalt go forth from him, and thine hands upon thine head. For the Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. It is so much better to prosper than it is to lose. And the way you prosper is by doing it God's way. It's that simple. I hope you can decide from this, hey, he's kind of ticked. He's not happy with his planting. And he intends to do some correction. And there is, just like at Kadesh Barneo, there is sometimes one day too late, Charlie. So you need to pay attention. You need to live for him, with him. And that mansion, of course, is not a building. It's a resting place. That's what the word in the Greek, moni, means. Not mansion, not some big fancy house. Rest. Do you know who your rest is? It's the Father and the Son. And when you're in them, you're in a mansion, a resting place. For even as the Sabbath brings you rest, they bring you rest because they bring you truth. And they plant a fantastic vine. Stay plugged into it. There are some even grafted into it, and they do fantastically well. And God, why? Because God does a good job of pruning. And those pruned stalks have a way of falling into the fire. Turn on over to chapter 11 of this same book. Verse 15. What hath my beloved to do in mine house, seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from thee? When thou doest evil, then thou rejoicest. You don't know good from bad. That's what he's saying. You have your religions confused and mixed up. You think you're doing good when you're doing bad. Again, do you know how to check that out? It's real simple. Real, real simple. All you have to do is go to 13th chapter of Matthew and check the sowing of God's word and see how you fit. The Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. He planted it good, but God is a consuming fire, and his Holy Spirit, which this is what this is symbolic of, it cleanses. That's the pruning. I guarantee you, he will get your attention. He will shake your little old life up till you will think Satan's living with you. If you're one of his elect and you're not doing right, I guarantee you, he'll get you right. I don't care how many twists and turns it takes till you say, Uncle, love me, Father, and you'll be in the traces. Verse 17, for the Lord of hosts that planted thee hath pronounced evil against thee. That's a bad sign, beloved. For the evil of the house of Israel and the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense unto Baal. They worship other things. They don't study my word. They don't do it my way. And you know, I'm going to do it to you. And, you know, people will say, well, how, people today don't worship Baal. How could that be? Oh? Well, what does it mean, go out on every high hill? Well, that's where they... Do you know what they did on those high hills? They rolled eggs. Fancy eggs of fertility. And You know, have you ever heard of anybody doing that in the name of religion? It's not in the Bible. It's not in God's Word. It's heathenism. We were doing good. We were doing so good, pleasing God with the little children with their little baskets, all snuggled up. And it was so religious. Oh, was it? Well, how do you document that when the word Easter is only mentioned one time in God's Word in the book of Acts? But if you just take a little bit of trouble and look at the manuscripts, you know, it's real easy. If you take the word Easter in your Strong's Concordance, you know what you're going to find it is in the Greek? Passel. What's Passel? It's Passover. Do you want the death angel to pass over you or not? You won't get it done by rolling Easter eggs or quick like a bunny. Those were sexual acts that took place in heathenism. And you say everybody's doing just fine? I don't like to even bring that up, but look around you at what people are doing with the Word of God. And let me ask you, do you think that makes him happy? I can answer it for you. Get ready for another wave. Get ready for another wave. All right. Turn on over with me to the 18th chapter. Verse 6. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? You all know this. They went down and there was Eben and Abed, and they have these two wheels that they mold pottery on, okay? And the potter made something. He didn't like it, and guess what? He busted it up and made a whole new thing. Do you want him to do that to you? Okay? That's what's led up to here. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine hand, O house of Israel. Now, you want to believe that, beloved. You're in God's hand. He is our judge. You better stay in good with him, because he is the one you will stand before. And you know what? If you repent, all the bad stuff is erased from your name. But do you know something? The good stuff never is. It's left there. That's your rewards. You want to have those there. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? You know, our Father is in control. Superpowers come and go. Thank God this one is under God. It will stay. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at that instant I shall speak concerning the nation and concerning the kingdom to build and to plant it. You see, it's important what happens in our nation. God's watching. Political leaders should be aware of that, instead of snuffing and grinning and going on, so we can't have religion in our government. Well, you don't have to exclude it. Okay, you know, the founders of this nation were very familiar with God, and they sought his leadership. Where did we go wrong? Well, thank God we're coming back. Okay, but again, as I read this, the reason I'm pulling out scriptures concerning nations and kingdoms, you're looking at it today, my friend. If it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. And what does he do? He does a little correcting. Get ready for another wave. Get ready for our Father to speak. Well, are you saying that God takes vengeance on people? Oh, no, 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 no. He always protects his own, okay? He sees to that. But when we deal with kingdoms and nations, good nations prepare and warn their people beforehand, and it's real easy to protect yourself from God's nature. You know, I was born and raised down here in Tornado Alley in Oklahoma, and one of the first things that a married couple learns to do is dig a cellar, okay, you know, and have a good strong door on it, okay. I'll never forget, I guess I've told this before, but I had an Uncle Claiborne and Aunt Gertie, okay, and I spent some time with them sometimes, and Uncle Claiborne never would go to the cellar, never. I mean, he stood right there and read his Bible in the house, you know. But Mama and the kids, Aunt Gertie and my cousins, they all went to that cellar. And sure enough, this is a true story now. Sure enough, a tornado came along. Uncle Claiborne's reading the Bible, and he felt the house raise up about a foot and then set back down. And they could hear in the cellar about the next time you could hear kindling. I mean, that house was torn in a thousand pieces, and Aunt Gertie said, "Kids, your paw's gone." But about that time, "Open the door and let me in there." He bailed out. A few feet off the ground, he bailed out and headed for the cellar. So Uncle Claiborne, after that, always, what has that got to do with God? Take care of yourself, okay? Go to the cellar of comfort and let God protect you. Use this. You know, that's what he gave. He planted a really good tree that's got smarts. Use them, okay? If there's a 9.0 earthquake, you know, I mean, head for the hills. That's a bad one. And 9 times out of 10, you're going to get a tsunami. Okay. Thank God one little child that learned that in school warned her family and others, and naturally the animals all win anyway. Isn't that amazing? But God gives us protection in his word and in common sense. He planted a goodly tree. Pay attention to it, okay? Now, let's back up to Isaiah chapter 54. Let's see what he planted that is right. For what he planted right, he lets you know how to please him in this 54th chapter of Isaiah. And I could go to ever so many places. I could go to chapter 60 and chapter 61 of this same great book of Isaiah and give you a beautiful lesson involved with this, but I want to end it with this, showing you who's blessed so that you know. And this is why we took the bad seed in the beginning, the serpent seed. You know, a lot of people are going to say, "You mean they teach those dastardly serpent seed doctrine?" No, God did. You read it, didn't you? You know, there in Genesis 3, 15 and 16, that's God's teaching. Just, you know, some pastors, just because they don't understand, they say dastardly. Okay. I guess that's a cover-up for ignorance. I don't know. But don't ever hide from God's Word. It will help you. It will protect you. Don't ever apologize for it, because God doesn't like it. You go to apologizing for His Word, and have you ever taken a fly swatter and corrected something, you know, he's handy about that. Okay. Verse chapter 54, the first verse of the great book of Isaiah. 54th chapter, first verse. "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord." What's that talking about? Do you remember when Jesus was crucified, or just before he was crucified, and he was climbing that path, Luke chapter 21, I'm sorry, 23, Luke 23, where Christ is going up the hill to Golgotha. He's got that cross. And he said, don't weep for me, ladies, you daughters of Jerusalem, but weep for yourselves. For the day will come when it will be said, blessed are the barren. What he's talking about is what he taught in Mark 13 in Matthew 24. It's going to be like in the days of Noah. They're going to be giving and taking in marriage again with the fallen angels and Satan. And he said, woe to those that are with child when I return and give suck. That's not a mother with a natural pregnancy. That's a blessing, not a sin. But what he's saying is that you did not involve yourself with false teachings, that you stayed true. And he's warning you here, there'll be a whole lot more people that will go astray in the apostasy than will remain true. God's looking for people that will remain true, that will recognize the evil one. Why? Because he's warned you over and over. So he lets you know, this is a tree he planted he can count on. That's the barren. In verse 2, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. What he's saying is, you may be barren there, but you better make yourself a great big tent, because you're going to have children you can't even count. We're talking about salvation and leading people to truth. You're going to have more than you can take care of, because you're the one I love. You're the one I can trust, is those that won't be involved with the false Christ. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Christ will indoctrinate and bring in salvation to all people, whosoever will, into that tent of loving God, of overcoming. That's the seed. That's the planting. That's the truth. And that's pleasing to God. That is the vine that enlarges the kingdom of God and puts the enemy at Christ, as Christ's footstool. Fear not, verse 4, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. Do you know why he says widowhood? If you read in the 19th chapter, you find that he has a wife and a bride. Because you see, some people he chose to himself, even in the first earth age, they're called God's elect. And when you're here, you're kind of a widow, for your husband died on the cross. Do you understand what I'm saying? That made the heritage precious, because you can collect it now, okay? The truth, you can absorb it. It will unfold for you. For you know the truth, and you follow him, and he will always bless. Never anything to be ashamed of, because you find Satan an abomination, not something to tempt you. For thy maker, that's your planter, okay? Thy maker is thine husband. You don't have another one. Thy maker is thy husband, spiritually speaking. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Universal dominion. He controls all, and he loves all. Do you understand that you're a part of that? When you remain barren in the apostasy, that's the good vine. That's the good planning of God. For he still calls you mate, a worker in his service. And you can rest assured, you're going to receive his blessings abundantly. As quite frankly, we all do. We really do. When you stay in those traces and work, God blesses us over and over and over. Fantastic. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken, abandoned, kind of, and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth. Notice the word wife again. When thou wast refused, saith the Lord. He knew exactly where you were, and he was backing you up. When the whole world went whoring after the spurious Messiah, don't worry about it. He's with you. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee. You can cut it. You can handle it through the apostasy, okay? You've got enough faith to overflow all the way through it, because the very fact that you see it come to pass strengthens you. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercies on thee, saith the Lord God. Listen to me closely. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. This is my promise to those that will listen, to those that don't get involved with the apostasy. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. That's his promise. If you stick with them, him, he will never be angry at you, and he will bless you. So that's the planting that God is very, very, very pleased with. That's why that planting receives more blessings, really, than maybe even than they deserve, than they can hardly handle. I thank our Father for that. That's what his word will do for you. What did he say? Find when you're confused and when you're kind of, you might think you're down on your luck. Find the word of God. That simply means concentrate on it, meditate on it. Do you know what meditation is? You've got to learn to do that. Meditation doesn't happen necessarily while you're reading and studying. It happens later when you're sitting and thinking and you're mulling that over in your mind. Do you know why? Do you know where the etymology of the word meditate comes from? Have you ever seen an old cow chew or could? You know, a cow has a lot of stomachs, okay? When there's so many hours of daylight, and they'll get out there and just, I mean, they'll pack up that first tummy something. They'll get it up there good, okay? But sooner or later, they got to chew that, okay? So they'll sit back and they'll just sit there and chew that could over and over and over. You read God's word and you chew it over and over and over. Because you know something? When he said that Zerah was anything that contained within it, that quickeneth, that means to make alive, his word is alive. And when you run it back over your mind and you don't totally understand, lights come on, for he is the light. And do you know what happens when that happens? You become a light, a reflection of that light. And people are drawn to that. I think it's a beautiful thing. Never apologize for the plannings of God. You are the planning of God. You remain in his word and in him, and you will never be ashamed. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving you. Be with us this day. We ask it in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the mark of the beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
Paul recognized the words when Jesus asked him, "Why do you kick against the pricks?" That I did a work on that. You know, that's like when you drive cattle, you use a prod with a prick on the end of it. It is also the prick that makes a perfect circle of the earth. And he said, "You're upsetting my plan of salvation," is what really it comes to. Nobody's perfect. It doesn't matter how good a scholar you are, you're still a flesh person. Paul was. But boy, did he get a bringing up, all right, right there on the road to Damascus. Ray, I think this is Ray from New Jersey. When we die, do the people on the bad side of the Gulf have a chance of eternal life? They do if they take it. You know, this is what the Lord's Day is about. Those that did not overcome are on the bad side of the Gulf. That, this is taught in the parable Christ gave in Luke chapter 16, a rich man and Lazarus. Okay? But why would God, the Lord's Day, be 1,000 years long, called the millennium? And as we read in Revelation chapter 20, verse 5, there's priests there, teachers. But it says, which this is what throws a lot of people, the rest of the dead must remain dead until the end of the 1,000 years. And they don't know what that word dead in the Greek means. They don't know the difference between nikos and nikros. It means deader than a hammer spiritually. There is no way anyone until the second resurrection, which happens at the end of the millennium, takes place, can overcome that are on the bad side of paradise. You can, I think that if you read Luke chapter 16, it would help you. I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you. You know why I love you? Because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. But most of all, you make God's day. Because from your lips comes the words of God, and that so pleases Him. That's your sacrifice to Him on His altar. That's what He wants. So you make His day. Let Him know you love Him. He'll make yours. Brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, this. You stay in His Word. Every day in His Word, just a little time set aside. It's a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yahshua, is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.